Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and pray that you would speak through my words. Speak to our minds and our hearts this morning of all that you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it seems to me our two readings today, what kind of joins them together is the subject of image. And I was reminded of an event that happened quite a long time ago, actually. When I was about 16, I went on a trip with some of my friends on the train from Northampton, near where I live, to London. And we were on this big trip to London just for the day, looking around. And one of the places we had to go was Harrods. And we couldn't afford to buy very much, as you can imagine, 16-year-olds. I think we bought a sausage roll. I think that was about all we could afford. But I did come back, and I still got it now, with a Harrods bag. Because I thought that is the thing, that, you know, if anyone's going to be impressed with my image, it's me carrying a Harrods, yeah, one big bag for a sausage roll. I think I recall we kind of swiped it from under one of the tills, because we didn't buy anything big enough, but we had to come back with a Harrods bag. And it was sort of that kind of image of that Harrods portrayed then. This is back in the mid-80s. They've been through a fair amount since then. But the image that Harrods portrayed, and actually a small confession, it kind of sparked an interest in me, a collection. I started collecting plastic bags after that. Don't talk to Carrie about it. It's a little bit of a sore point. It's kind of travelled with us. I've tried to throw lots of them away, but anyway, I won't go there. But of course, really, although this was the image I was trying to portray, the probably more correct image would probably have been said by a couple of other bags from my collection. I was more of a CNA man, really. See, it's a rarity now. You can't get those anymore. Anyway, I'm glad Carrie's not here. She'd be steaming. Although I suppose probably the other image I perhaps wanted to portray was that I was Mr. Byright. Do you remember Mr. Byright? Perhaps it was only a Midlands thing. Perhaps it was a Midlands shop. I can't even remember what they sold, whether it was shoes or... Anyway, I won't go there. But yeah, there's something about image. And I love the way that... I love this story that we had in the Gospel. I'm going to get to Moses in a minute. But the story I had in the Gospel, that Jesus tangling with the Pharisees... They challenge him, and they think they've really, you know, pulled the rug from under him. How's he going to answer this one? And actually, what he does is he gets them to convict themselves in a way, because as they pull out this coin in their pocket, of course, the image that's got on it is the emperor, the one who proclaims that he is Lord and God over all. And so the very fact that they've got that in their pocket or about their person shows that they've broken the second commandment of having someone whose image is an idol. And so actually, although it doesn't say that in the text, the fact that they've pulled that out means that they're kind of guilty as charged in a way. And no wonder they're amazed at the end and can't say any more to him, because, you know, he's kind of convicted them from their own mouths. So it's just brilliant the way he deals with it. Moses, on the other hand, is kind of coming to the end of his time through the wilderness, and we're going to finish that off next week, next Sunday. But he is concerned with not maybe the image of God, but the face of God. It's interesting, there's an interesting sort of paradox that we've kind of read about him speaking face to face, but when he comes to ask to see God, God's face, God sort of says, no, you can't see my whole glory, but you can see my goodness. But he's also worried about the presence of God going with the people. And we might ask, why is he so worried about that? Because clearly God's been with them all the time. Well, what's happened in the previous chapter is why he's worried. The previous chapter is a bit of a low point for the Israelites. Moses has gone up to the Mount Sinai, spends some time with God, is where he gets the tablets with the Ten Commandments. He's already kind of had the commandments verbally, but he gets them in the tablets. While they're there, the Israelites get a bit fed up. They kind of lose sight of the way, lose sight of God and Moses, and they create this golden calf, and they begin to worship the golden calf. They persuade Aaron to create it. And so at the beginning of, or at the end of chapter 32, beginning of chapter 33, it's all kicking off. Moses isn't happy with them. God, understandably, isn't happy. If Moses comes back, he comes back with his tablets. You might remember the story, and he smashes them on the ground because of what the Israelites are doing. And so this passage we've just had that Tim brought to us is Moses kind of a little bit worried that God's got so fed up he's just going to send an angel with them and not go with him. But it's really interesting what he says about God's presence. That he says, we need your presence with us, not because of the miracles that go on, or the cloud, or the fire that goes with them. But actually, it's I'll just find it in my text here. He says, if we don't I and your people, unless you go with us in this way, we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth. The crucial thing for Moses is that having God's presence with them makes them distinct from everyone else. It makes them distinguishable from all the other peoples around. And this is a constant kind of difficulty. But coming back to the presence, we see that God actually turns around and says, no, you can't see my glory, but you can see the goodness. You can't see my face, but you can see my back. And that would have been kind of the sense of following him, following his guidance. But the main thing for Moses is the presence of God will go with them from this place as they leave and carry on their journey. And the truth for us is that we have God's presence with us. We have God's presence as a community and as individuals. Jesus has promised, hasn't he? As we abide in him, he abides in us. And so he lives in us by his Spirit. We're blessed by him. We're blessed to do what? Well, it goes right back to God's promise to Abraham. You're blessed to be a blessing to others. And so that's what his presence is all about. It's about being a blessing to others, to share God's blessing, to share his presence, if you like, with others. And so I thought, well, how do we do that? How can we share God's presence? And I began by thinking about, perhaps we need to present an image to people of God in us. If God's presence is in us, then perhaps we need to present an image that is perfect. But of course not. And as I prayed about it, I thought, what's a catchy way of putting that? And I thought, actually, no, we present God's presence not by being perfect, but by being perforated. I quite like that. I meant to go. Not by being like a plastic bag, but being a tea bag. Bear with me with this. We're to let the flavour of God out. Let the flavour flood out, as the advert said. And we could push the metaphor a bit further and say, when we're in hot water, if we're a plastic bag, nothing's going to come out of God. Nothing of God's presence is going to come out. But if we're a tea bag, we're going to let that flavour, let God's flavour out. There's a wonderful the Message translation, which people are a bit marmitey about, but the way it describes the passage about us being salt and light, it links in with that, bringing out the God flavours in the world. And Paul put it really well, much better than I could, when he talked about we've got this treasure in clay jars, when he writes to the Corinthian church. And what he's referring to is that actually how we present to others is not who we are, but it's who we contain. We contain the good news of God, the presence of God in us. That's the treasure that we share. And that actually we're just the clay jars, the containers. It's his presence that makes a difference. It's his presence that makes a difference to us, and that people will see in us. We heard two wonderful testimonies last week, and one from Jane and from Sue as well, about it was God's presence shining out from the other people that they met, certain people, that kind of drew them into to their life of faith that they follow. And that's what I love about the clay jar image, that actually clay jars have often got a few cracks, but the treasure can shine out of the cracks. And so, I guess, yeah, it's very easy to say we've not got to be perfect, but perforated. We've got to be like a tea bag rather than a plastic bag or a Harrods bag, presenting that image. How do we do that? And there's two parts to that, I think. I often hear people talking about, as Christians, we should be real. We should be honest and open with the people that we meet and not try and put on a face that, everything's perfect and because we've got God, it's all good. Actually, no, we still have ups and downs and struggles, and I know and hear those regularly from people, and it's good to share. But the other part of it is actually we can be honest and open about our struggles, but also real about how God's presence makes a difference to us. About how when we have got that faith, It makes a difference. We have his peace, his purpose. Sometimes it can guide us. He can guide us into a purpose. We have the privilege of being able to pray to him and draw on his peace that knows no understanding. We can come to him and sense his unconditional love, his forgiveness if anything has gone awry. And his presence leads us into a community with others. Just as we're gathering here today, we can sense that support from the community, that sense that we're accepted and we have a community that we can belong. That's what God's presence can mean to us. And then, so as we share the realities of our life, the struggles and the difficulties with people that we might share with, it would be good to share the difference that God's presence makes as well. I think that's how we let those flavours flood out. That's how we share God's presence. That's how we're perforated and people sense God's presence in us. So that's really where I want to get to. And that we're not to be plastic bags but tea bags. Not perfect but perforated. So that his presence can flood out of us and we can share that with others. And I'm going to just pray in a moment and then we'll just spend a bit of quiet. I want us to sense how God's presence makes a difference to each one of us. Because I think sometimes we can forget that. We can kind of gather on a Sunday and think, yeah, God's presence is with us and there's strength here. But actually when we go out into the rigors of our lives, we can kind of forget that God's still with us. God's still present in us. His Spirit goes with us. And that can still make a difference and make us distinct to those that we meet and greet. And it's not necessarily going to make our life any easier, but it will make it easier to deal with and perhaps we can share those flavours and let the hot water that we might find ourselves in bring the flavours of God out. So let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that we've seen and learnt from Moses and his journey with you through the wilderness with the people. Thank you for his desire for your presence to be with them. His recognition that your presence is what makes what made the people a distinct people. And Lord, we pray that for ourselves as well, that we would know your presence, not just here as we gather together, but on into our week, whatever it is we're facing. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would convict us that you are right there with us, and at any time we can pray and draw on your peace and on your presence. We pray that very Spirit, same Spirit, would give us a sense of purpose in our lives, and would help us to share your presence with others. May we be those who your presence is the treasure that people see and are drawn to. And just in a moment of quiet, we're going to ask that your Spirit will come, Lord, and inspire us, inspire our imaginations, encourage us as we think through all that is before us and is in us with us.